Good evening and welcome to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Got a Bible question? Wondering what to make of current events? Call now, toll free at 888-677-9673. That's 888-677-9673. Now, open your Bibles, open your minds, and join the conversation with your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis.
Well, good evening. Welcome to another edition of Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis. I'll be with you until midnight tonight, right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to stick with us here this evening and even join in the conversation here tonight. If you've got a question, if you've got a question about the Bible or current events, we're going to be talking about current events in light of the Bible tonight. We've got some special guests in studio and calling in this evening. Normally we have the phone lines open about now, but we're going to hold off on that for a moment. And there's a number of things that are happening, and we wanted to get some information out here tonight, and hopefully it'd be a blessing and encouragement to you. Some things hopefully that you can do. There's a lot happening in the world today. Let me give you our second guest name first. He's going to be coming to you in a little bit here. I have Michael Goldstein in the studio with me, a good friend, and we're going to be talking about what's happening in Israel, things you need to know about, things that are happening that the media is not talking about, and why it's important for us to know about that. So he'll be talking about that a little bit later on in the program. But also in a few minutes, we're going to be joined with Chris Long, who's going to be talking about an important bill that will be heard in committee in Columbus on this Tuesday, House Bill 73. And this is a bill, once again, targeting the mandate that we have in Ohio to teach America's founding documents in our high schools here in Ohio. So he'll be calling in a few minutes. We'll be talking about that as well. In the meanwhile, let me also remind you that you can find us online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com, and encourage you to check us out there. If you'll go to livewithpastoral.com, you can also find information about us, links to our church, the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. You can also find past programs at our website. You can see some articles and things that I've written, some other links to some other materials that hopefully be a blessing and a help to you. That's all at livewithpastoral.com. And let's see, I'm going to go ahead and open our program here this evening with a word of prayer. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we want to thank you again for the opportunity we can come together tonight. We just think about the things that are happening in our country, indeed around the world, and sometimes as we focus on things happening here at home, we take our eyes off from things that are happening in Israel and other parts of the world that we need to be aware of, that we need to know about. So, Father, we just pray the program tonight will be a blessing and encouragement, and also help people to see things and understand things that we need to know about, Lord, and help us, Lord, to know what we can do to make a difference. Father, we just pray your blessing now, and we thank you in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Well, as I said, welcome to the program. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al, and we are going to be talking with Chris Long, I believe, is calling in as we're speaking, I think. Is that Chris on the line there? We'll find out in a minute. Give me just a second here. Oh, he's trying to get set up. As soon as he's ready, patch him on through. We'll be ready for Chris any moment. And again, as I said, check us out online, livewithpastoral.com. And I wanted to share some other information with you. Let's see. And I, you know, when I come in here, and I always forget something behind. I had a, there it is. I hope, well, nope, it's not the right paper. I had another piece of paper talking about anti-vaccine discrimination, and I guess I gave them all out at church tonight, so we will get to that. We're having a little trouble getting Chris set up here on the phone, so we'll get him in a moment. But while we're waiting for him to get connected up, I'm going to say hello to Michael Goldstein. Welcome. You're going to be talking more later, and your wife, Beverly is hiding back here in the studio, making sure that you're doing right. And, of course, my wife is at home watching the kittens. Sent Lauren to keep me straight. So you and I both have somebody keeping us straight. And I know Chris has got his wife keeping him straight, make sure he's doing okay. And I believe Chris is with us now. Chris, welcome to the program tonight.
Good evening, Pastor Al. Good to be with you.
Well, good evening. I'm glad you can be with us tonight. For those of you listening, if you're not aware, Chris Long is the president of the Ohio Christian Alliance, and he has got a lot of skin in the game, so to speak, in regards to House Bill 73 and what's happening there. Chris, can you give us a little history of how we came to have the teaching mandated, the teaching of America's founding documents and the small role, shall I say, that you had in that, and the threat that we currently see with House Bill 73.
Well, that's right, Pastor Al. It was what we call the Founding American Documents curriculum. It was a bill that was passed back in 2012. It took us actually 12 years to get that through the Ohio General Assembly. Basically, it strengthens American government and American history standards in Ohio high schools from the 8th through the 12th grade. The bill that passed actually took one full credit hour and dedicated it to both American government, American history, a half a credit hour for American government, a half a credit hour for American history, with an end-of-course exam for both. And that's the guarantee. That if you have the testing requirement, then the schools and the teachers are committed to teaching it and required to teach it. So it was actually mandated in all 88 school districts across Ohio. Why did we do that? Well, over the years, under the guise of social studies, all three credit hours were under social studies. Well, is anyone's guess as to what they were actually teaching? Some school districts did better jobs than others, but it was a hit-and-miss proposition. By and large, the majority of students that were graduating really didn't have much comprehension when it came to just the simple understanding of how our government works, how our representative form of government is constructed, and about our history as an American republic. And so what we did with the Founding American Documents curriculum was basically enumerate that they would study the U.S. Constitution with an emphasis of the Bill of Rights, the Declaration of Independence, the Northwest Ordinance, the Ohio Constitution, and the Declaration of Independence in the Ohio classroom, with also the Federalist and Anti-Federalist Papers. So this has been a rousing success. Again, since 2012 is when it was signed into law by Governor Kasich. I'm actually looking on the wall of my office and the signing ceremony, and the folks were with us that day. And I had the distinct pleasure of dotting the I on Kasich as he signed the bill. He requested me to do that, which is an honor, of course. And so we were thrilled. And then over the years, it's really a great success program. Our students in Ohio in high school are testing at higher proficiency rates in American government and American history than their counterparts in other states. This, according to the National Social Studies Association and the Fordham Foundation. These are folks that actually track these kinds of things. And, of course, the proficiency test results came out from Ohio schools in the last few years, and we could see from 2016 on to 2019 definitely an increase each year in those categories for these graduating students. Well, what's House Bill 73? What's all the hubbub about, right? Well, it's about that the teachers union really wants that credit hour back, and they don't want to be dedicating this much time in the classroom of teaching American government, American history, unfortunately. Some very liberal elements in the liberal teachers union wants that time back, and so they're trying to diminish it by, well, they're saying, well, we won't eliminate the test, we'll just combine the test. Well, if you're combining something, you're lessening it, and in fact, they're talking about how much more time they'll have in the classroom now if they eliminate at least one of those tests. Originally, they wanted to get rid of both of them, but we called them out on it. Now they compromised on basically saying, let's combine the test, and we still believe this is a bad idea because if the program's working, why change it at all? And that's why we're going to be down there on Tuesday in committee and testifying against House Bill 73.
And I remember, I think it was about, what was it, about 3 years or so ago, you and I were down, along, I believe, with Michael Goldstein at the State Board of Education when they were trying to circumvent this at that time, too. And I remember the end result kind of wasn't a real result. And I think you're the one who said, well, they just sort of kicked the can down the road a little bit. And I guess this is down the road now, isn't it?
That's exactly right. You have a very good memory, Pastor. I remember that. In fact, we went over afterwards and took pictures in front of the Christopher Columbus statue in front of City Hall, which
yes.
unfortunately is no longer there because of all the cancel culture that's gone on across the country. And the Christopher Columbus statue that stood in Columbus, Ohio, in front of City Hall, has been taken down. You know, actually, we had a little joke about that because they showed the very large bronze statue being put on pallets and taken away. And I thought, actually, he requested to be taken away because he didn't want to see what happened to the city with all the riots that took place.
Yeah, it's a little dark humor. But, yeah, I mean, you think about it. This, I think it's symptomatic of the problem that we have in this country, that we don't know our history. And in a city that's named after Christopher Columbus, they can't even have the statue there because of the council culture and things. So this is very important. Also for us as people of faith, this is very important because many of these documents that we're talking about, the Bill of Rights in particular in the United States Constitution, even some of the statements in the Declaration of Independence, speak of the faith of our founding fathers and speak of that which was important to them and what motivated them. And when our young people are not familiar with that, when they don't have a knowledge and understanding of these foundational documents, they're not prepared to assume the reins of leadership as they come of age and they begin working their way up into the political realms and leaders in communities, leaders in business and industry, leaders in educational fields, leaders throughout the state. They need to know the history. All of us need to know the history. I believe it was David McCullough that said, history is who we are and why we are the way we are. And this is a problem that we've had. And this idea that we've got something that is showing that Ohio students are learning and they're more knowledgeable than their counterparts in other states. One, if one was conspiratorial-minded, one could almost say that that is the problem, isn't it?
Well, that's right. And it was Ronald Reagan who said that we're always just one generation away from losing our freedoms and our republic.
Mm-hmm.
And that means that the children we are teaching today are going to be the leaders of tomorrow. What I want to do is direct people to our website. That's Ohio Christian Alliance, or go to ohioca.org. Or just search Ohio Christian Alliance. Right on our front page is all the links that people need. What we need them to do is to make calls and emails to the House Education Committee. That link is right on our page. And also the talking point you'll see under Breaking News, Dear Representative, you can actually copy and paste that message out and then email it to each representative on that committee of the Primary and Secondary Education Committee. They have a fillable form mm-hmm. where it says, contact us, and you can put your name in there and then the title, and then you can go ahead and copy and paste that message in. What's that message? Well, it says, I oppose House Bill 73, and I urge you to oppose it too. And then it goes on to explain what House Bill 73 will do is lessen the teaching of the Constitution in the classroom. So we do need everyone to act and to help us out with phone calls and emails if they can't be down there Tuesday. But we have a number of people that are lined up to testify in person and have also written testimony to present the committee in opposition of House Bill 73, which would lessen the constitutional studies in the Ohio classroom.
And if somebody was wanting to be down in Columbus on Tuesday, what time is the committee scheduled?
The committee is scheduled for 3 o'clock in room 313. That's in the Ohio State House. We'll be meeting in the rotunda at 2:30. So if they want to meet us before we go over to the hearing room, we'll be meeting in the rotunda at 2:30, and the committee starts at 3 o'clock. And again, all that information is on our website at ohioca.org, or just search Ohio Christian Alliance. And we appreciate, and folks can also pray. They can pray for those that are going to Columbus on Tuesday. This is where we hold the line, folks. This is where we save the Republic, because we hold the line of defense here. We have a good bill and a good curriculum in place. It's actually working in the school districts. Our young people are learning it, and we want to keep it going. We want to keep the success going. But, you know, there's enemies of our Republic, Pastor Al. They want to put in things like critical race theory or, you know, social action. That's a new thing that's happening, where they're taking these kids out, and Lord knows what they're fulfilling in their heads, and having them go out and protest or something like this is like a class study, and then just some socialistic philosophy. So, yeah, there's some very liberal teachers, but when they the construct in the classroom, according to this curriculum, really forces them to teach the Constitution, regardless, even if they're a Marxist in thought, they have to teach the Constitution. So, and there's a lot of great teachers out there. I'm not saying that. Certainly there are. And by the way, we've gotten so a number of teachers are going to testify opposing House Bill 73. We just got more notices tonight about that. So that's great, because, you know, sometimes it takes courage. Some of these teachers are going up against, well, the interest of their own teachers' union. Right? How many people do that? Well, there's good men and women of faith who realize that the times are desperate. It's important for us to take a stand. If not now, then when?
Absolutely. And Chris Long, if you could give that website address as well again. And also, you have a radio program, too, where you cover these topics, if you could mention that.
Well, thank you, Pastor Al. Again, the website is ohioca.org. Or just search Ohio Christian Alliance. It should come right up for you and take you to our main page. All the information is there that you need for the action item of contacting the committee and learning about this issue. Also, our radio program, of course, is every Thursday at 1 p.m. That's News in Focus, again at 6:30, and Saturdays at 5. And we cover the news of the day and subjects of what's happening in Columbus and also nationally. And we cover, of course, religious liberty issues, which are we're being challenged on every hand right now. But God is with us. And, you know, like a friend said the other day, Pastor, he said, you know, God sees exactly what's going on, and he's not fretting in the least bit.
Well, like nothing that surprises God. I think a few things disappoint him, but nothing surprises him.
That's right. That's right. You know, I was also thinking the other day, too, it's like I know that God's in control. It's not that I waver. I just have to remind him of the odds sometimes down here. The odds aren't good for us.
Yeah. All right. Well, Chris Long, President of Ohio Christian Alliance, I want to thank you for filling in our listeners on the importance of opposing House Bill 73 and things that they can do, and remind our listeners to pray. Do you have any parting thoughts on that?
Well, thank you, or Pastor, comments? Thank you for the opportunity. And, you know, it's because of all the coalitions. We had a conference call tonight with some really fine groups around the state. And unity in that way is where we're going to have the victory. And God's going to bless it with God's people working together. And I know that's what your program's about as well, and educating people on the issues of the day. And I'm really thankful for that.
Well, I want to thank you for the good work that you're doing. And, you know, there's a legacy there. And as I said, you know, at the beginning, you've got skin in the game in the sense that you're somebody who's responsible for the teaching of America's founding documents in our classrooms here in this state. And it's not that you're just trying to, well, I got this passed, I don't want somebody getting rid of it. But this is important. This is important for our young people, as I was saying, too. They need to know where we come from. Our young people need to know the history of our country, why our country is what it is, why the founding documents were written the way that they were written, and what it means. These things mean things. And this is what our young people need to understand. You know, if Lord tarries and is coming, they're going to be the leaders of tomorrow, and they need to know this. If they don't, well, you can see the result that's happening around our country of some people who don't understand what our country is and what it's about, right?
That's right. That's right. Well, again, thank you again, Pastor, and praise God for all you're doing as well. We appreciate very much.
Well, thank you very much, Chris Long. I appreciate you taking time. I know you've had a very busy day today trying to keep tabs on what's happening with House Bill 73. And I know people will be praying for you on Tuesday, and we're hoping that the Lord will intervene and turn the hearts of the committee and oppose and shoot down this bill. So thank you for calling tonight, Chris.
Thank you. God bless, Pat.
God bless. Appreciate that. Thank you so much. And again, check out ohioca.org. That's ohioca.org. And you'll find it right there at the top. Latest news headlines, breaking news, and information. What you can do to contact your representative in Columbus to help stop House Bill 73. All right. Well, I appreciate, again, the opportunity to cover that information. That was something breaking that we wanted to cover tonight. I had been talking with Michael Goldstein, a good friend, about the situation in Israel, and he's got some insights there. And so I invited him to come on the air with us tonight. And also, before I forget about it, you're going to be on the air with us this Friday talking, we were going to talk about critical race theory and some different things there, which is also very important. All these things tie together. House Bill 73, the teaching of the opposition to the teaching of the founding documents, things that are happening in Israel, things that are happening in this country, and a lot of these things tie together. People don't always see what's happening there. Michael Goldstein, welcome to the program. Introduce yourself. You're involved with a number of things. I'll let you take your pick.
Yeah, I have five resumes, depending on what you're looking at, what I'm doing. By the way, I testified 2 years ago, aside from what we did at the State Board of Education, mm-hmm. there was a House committee trying to get rid of the achievement test.
Yes, I remember that, too. I was there, too.
I testified there with you and with Al, with Chris Long.
Mm-hmm.
And by the way, the Ohio Christian Alliance worked with my organization, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, to pass a pro-Israel bill mm-hmm. that condemned the boycott, divestment, and sanctions movement against Israel and condemned anti-Semitism. And it was Ohio Christian Alliance and my organization, Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, which is at pjtn.org. It's a Christian organization dedicated to educating Christians on their biblical duty to support Israel and the Jewish people.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I was testifying on behalf of PJTN when I did that.
Mm-hmm.
What I wanted to talk about tonight, I think everybody's concerned. They see the rockets flying in Israel against Israel. And I'd like to get out some background and then explain what's really going on there.
Mm-hmm.
That is not being talked about in the media.
And I was telling our church, I think at our Friday night Bible study, I was telling some people that I mentioned in our church, a lot of what's happening, we see, you know, all the stuff with mask mandates and all that, and that's important. But I think with some of the stuff with the vaccines and all of that, it's a distraction. And there's real situations that are occurring around the world that are going to affect us here in the United States. And the more I look at it, the more I think that some of these things are distractions, trying to keep our eye off from things that really are going to affect us and that are really important. And I think what's happening in Israel is really important. This is a nation, it's not a big nation land-wise, but in terms of importance and its effect on world affairs, it's a huge nation. It's huge. And the world is looking at what's happening there, is concerned, and it affects the whole world. But I think a lot of people in America, we tend to think, well, you know, some missiles flew, Iron Dome shot it down. And then some people are saying, oh, yeah, there's these Palestinians that are being oppressed and their land being stolen, you know, and by the evil Israelis. And you get this stuff going back and forth. But like I said, you have some insight into what's going on. You have family there. And so what do our listeners need to know about the situation?
Well, first, let me start off with this. This mm-hmm. is a very auspicious occasion, time to speak about what's going on in Israel, because this is the Jewish holiday which commemorates the revelation at Mount Sinai of the Ten Commandments and the Torah given to the Jewish people and to the world.
Mm-hmm.
3,333 years ago to the day. The holiday is Shavuot, and it is dedication to the Torah and the Ten Commandments. Possibly the Ten Commandments are the most moral document ever given by God to mankind.
I would say that they are the most important documents in the history of the world,
And we,
outside the Word of God as a whole, but it's in the Word of God. So,
and we just came from synagogue to come here to be on the radio. We were doing a service and celebration of it.
I did not realize that until your wife told me that when she came in, and I think that really is kind of, as you said, it's very auspicious, very, very interesting that what's going on in Israel tonight, and we're able to talk about this on the actual anniversary of the giving of the Ten Commandments.
Yeah. Well, as you know, I did 30 years in the Navy. I was an intelligence officer, and you did something similar in the Air Force. And so I tend to think of things from the military point of view quite often.
Right.
And here's what's going on in Israel. Everybody sees that Hamas is once again shooting rockets from Gaza into Israel. They're mostly unguided rockets. They don't have big warheads. You know, I sometimes think in terms of the blitz on London in the early part of World War II, and then late again in World War II. The rockets that were coming into London, the V1 pulse jet cruise missiles, really had a 1,000-pound warhead. The V2 ballistic missiles had 2,000-pound warheads, and they were blowing up city blocks. These missiles coming from Gaza are very small, very small missiles, about 50-pound warheads. We've seen them come over. They are scary as anything. They're loud. They come over in groups, and they've shot at least 2,000 of them in the past few days. Okay.
And we can when you see the media presentation here, it's just like, well, there's just been a few.
Well, there's just been a few civilians killed, although I heard yesterday 10 Israeli civilians were killed in one rocket attack, one rocket hitting. Here's the problem. They have this Iron Dome.
Right.
Okay. That radar can discriminate and tell you where this warhead's going to land. And if it's going to land someplace that doesn't matter, they don't shoot at it. Every shot is $10,000. They don't shoot at it, and they can't waste any missiles. But if it's going to hit someplace important, they intercept it, and they're intercepting 85, 90, 95%. There are always some leakers. Some missiles get through, and innocent civilians are killed. Interesting statistic, of the missiles that were fired, about a third of them don't make it out of Gaza, and they land in Gaza, and they kill Arabs in Gaza. Those are the children that the Arabs put, that Hamas puts on television to see what the Israelis are doing. No, it's their own missiles because they're so incompetent. So there's that. And the Israelis have a pretty good handle on that. It's scary, it's terror, but it's not existential in and of itself from a military point of view. But there's, are we going to a break?
I got about a minute or so.
Okay. Yeah. Well, something else is going on there that is not covered in the mainstream media, and it's probably the more important part of it. And I will talk about it when we come back from the break. But I know what's going on there. I'm hearing about it from various sources, including our children, who are video chatting and texting me from inside the bomb shelter where they are, our son, his wife, and our little granddaughter, who's 4 years old. That beautiful little girl is being attacked not only by these missiles, but by riots and anti-Jewish riots in their neighborhood. So,
right. Well, I hope you'll stay with us here. We are coming up on a break very shortly here, and you're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I've got Michael Goldstein in the studio with us, and he has got a connection, family members inside of Israel right now. And we're going to come back after the break. He's going to be sharing some insights that you're not getting in the news that's coming from his family and other contacts that he has in Israel. So stay tuned. We've got another half hour to go. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al.
I'm your Late Night Live host, Pastor Al Davis, pastor of the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, Ohio. I want to invite you to visit us at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express, located midway between Akron and Cleveland at 5171 Rexville Road in Richfield, where the Ohio Turnpike, Interstate 80, and Interstate 77 cross. The Bible Baptist Church meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Sunday morning for Bible study at 10 a.m., morning worship at 11 a.m., and evening worship at 6 p.m. The Bible Baptist Church also meets at the Richfield Holiday Inn Express each Friday night at 7 p.m. for an informal Bible study where you get to bring the questions, just like on Late Night Live with Pastor Al. Even if we don't see you at the Bible Baptist Church in Richfield, we want to see you in heaven. Jesus says in the Bible, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me." Why? Well, because the Bible says, "There is none righteous, no, not one. We are all as an unclean thing, and all our righteousnesses are as filthy rags. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." The Bible also says, "Wherefore, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. For when we were yet without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. And so the Bible says that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture saith, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved." I like that. Whosoever, that means you. If this show's been a blessing to you, why not let us know? You can contact us by writing Pastor Al Davis, Post Office Box 452, Richfield, Ohio 44286. Our email address is pastoral@maplenoll.us. You can also visit our website at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. Or you can call us at 330-659-6561. We'd love to hear from you, but now let's get back to our program.
Well, welcome back. You're listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host, Pastor Al Davis, and we almost snuck up on us here. We were chatting in the studio in the break here, Michael Goldstein and I.
We were too emotional.
But there's just so much to talk about. But you are listening to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. I'm your host. Be with you till midnight tonight right here on AM 1220, The Word. I hope you'll be able to check us out online at livewithpastoral.com. That's livewithpastoral.com. And you can find more out about us, listen to past programs. And as long as our link is working here, we're also streaming live, I believe, on YouTube right now. So you can find connections to that there as well as on some of our social medias and things. So we're going to get back into our program here real quick. Just give you a little bit of housekeeping here before I do that. A reminder that this coming Friday, two things this coming Friday are we're on at 1:30, and Michael Goldstein will be joining me again to talk about critical race theory, what it is and the dangers posed by that, and we'll be talking about that on Friday at 1:30. But also at 1 o'clock on Friday, I will be filling in for Pastor Lutz. Pastor John Lutz has his program for the Cause of Christ that's on from 1 o'clock until 1:30. He precedes me. He's the pastor of the North Coast Baptist Church in Lakewood, and I will be filling in for him at 1 o'clock. And then at 1:30, our program comes on, and Michael Goldstein will be joining me there. And hopefully we'll also have some news about how the hearings go this Tuesday down at the State House on House Bill 73. So We're going to get back to talking with Michael Goldstein about the situation in Israel, things that you need to know about, things that are not being talked about in the media. And Michael Goldstein, introduce yourself again real quick for those that are just joining us.
Sure. Michael Goldstein. I am an attorney. I am general counsel and state of Ohio, a director of Proclaiming Justice to the Nations at pjtn.org, a Christian organization dedicated to educating Christians as to their biblical duty to support and defend Israel and the Jewish people.
All right. In the last half hour, we have started getting into the topic of the attacks that are going on, not only the rockets that are raining down on Israel, but you had, just before we went to the break, mentioned about your family, your son, daughter, and granddaughter that are there and having to hide inside of bunkers. And there's more going on than just the rocket attacks, and we'll pick that up now.
First, let me talk about why this is all happening, and it's all a pretext. You may have heard on the news, the media is saying, well, the Israelis are evicting Palestinians from their homes, and that's why these riots are taking place. Nothing could be, well, there is an eviction process going on, but here's the backstory. These neighborhoods, and there are only about 48 homes involved, these were Jewish homes from about the year 1900 until the War of Independence for Israel in 1948. So about half a century, they were Jewish villages, Jewish homes. At the end of the War of Independence, that was behind the Jordanian lines. It was occupied by Jordan. Jordan kicked out all the Jews, Jewish homeowners, and they went back into Israel proper across the Green Line. And then they placed Palestinians in those homes, the Jewish-owned homes. Until 1967, during the 1967 war, when Israel pushed Jordan all the way out of Israel and reoccupied that territory, which was Jewish territory in the first place. The Palestinians, the Jews who owned those homes filed a lawsuit to evict the Palestinians who were living in their homes. And the litigation went on for about 50 years. Okay. And finally, the Israeli Supreme Court, I believe it was the Supreme Court, which is a very liberal court. They have very left-wing courts in Israel. It's a little hard to imagine, but they do. They said, no, the Palestinians could continue living there, but they are tenants, and they must pay rent to the Jewish owners of the properties. Landlord-tenant dispute. They paid for a while, I believe, but then for years they refused to pay rent. So the Jewish owners filed an eviction action, and the court issued an eviction notice to get these 48 families out of there so the Jews could get their property back. That's what happened. Just a little court dispute like here. If somebody doesn't pay their rent, they get evicted. That's right. What happens. This was used as a pretext and reported by the media as the Jews are evicting Palestinians from the homes they own. Well, so pogrom is the word for an anti-Jewish riot. There were pogroms all over Eastern Europe for the past couple hundred years. My grandparents and their siblings who lived in Ukraine at that time, they had to leave their village of Tetyev because there was a series of pogroms by the peasants, by the army. And these are very serious. They burn down synagogues. They bust up businesses. They injure and kill the Jews. They rape the women. Finally, over a period of 20 years, all the Jews left. And luckily enough, especially for me, they came to the United States and made wonderful lives for themselves, like most immigrants do.
I was going to say, when you're talking about that, I remember looking at a little history. I had the opportunity, our church went to, and you have to help me out on the name of this, out there just off from 271, the Maltz, is it
the Maltz Museum of Jewish Heritage.
Right, and I would encourage people to visit that, because going through there, learning about the role that Northeastern Ohio has played in welcoming Jewish immigrants, because many of them, as they left to Russia and Ukraine and stuff, and they headed westward, a lot of the Western European countries didn't really want them to stay. And so they ended up crossing the Atlantic, and I guess a number of them came in, through Ellis Island, and then it got funneled here into Northeastern Ohio. Cleveland, Akron areas became home to a great number of Jewish immigrants. And I can only say it's been a blessing to Ohio in general, Northeast Ohio in particular.
You know, Milt Maltz, the owner, the creator of the Maltz Museum, owned Malright Communications.
Oh, okay.
He's the creator of the International Spy Museum in Washington.
Yeah, okay.
And
I didn't realize that. A little
backstory for you and me. Milt Maltz was an enlisted man in the Navy during the Korean War, and he was working at Arlington Hall and determining which communications intercepts from before Pearl Harbor should be declassified and released.
Wow.
Interesting guy. Bev and I put on a national symposium on intelligence and national security of the Great Lakes and Northern Border, and Milt was our first speaker.
Mm-hmm.
So he's an intel guy like the rest
of us.
Oh,
yeah, that's a little
anyway,
little,
so the Maltz Museum of Jewish Heritage is just a wonderful place, and everybody should go see it. I agree.
And they can Google that, find out, search for it online, they'll find it.
So what went on in Germany under the Nazis in the 1930s was a series of pogroms like Kristallnacht, you know, the Night of the Broken Glass. What's happening in Israel today are told to me as the worst pogroms since Germany in the 1930s. Jewish synagogues have been torn down, defaced, blown up, burned. Jews are being attacked in the streets. Our kids were texting me from the bomb shelter. You know, they have a plan, you know, to get out if they have to, but it's not safe to be in the streets. And the perpetrators are Arabs who are Israeli citizens. It's their neighbors who are doing this, as so often happens. And the problem is not ideology. The problem is religion. It really is. And we don't have to go into that, but that's what it is.
Right.
But what you see in the left-wing press here is they only cover two issues. One is the rockets, which are horrible, and they are terroristic, mostly under control by the Israelis, but people are being killed and maimed, and it's horrible. And their other issue they talk about is praying for the Arabs to come to us and make peace. They don't talk about the pogroms. Most people here don't know that they're going on because it doesn't fit the narrative of we have to have peaceful relationships with the Arabs. So it's there's a conspiracy for you. But that word needs to get out. The whole thing is being done, the Hamas shooting the rockets and the pogroms against the Jews in Israeli towns and cities and villages is all done on a pretext of people being forcibly evicted from their homes unjustly.
Well, and again, as you said, a clash between religions there as well. And when you bring it up, the Muslim religion does talk about striking terror into the hearts of the unbelievers and such. But I was also going to say, not only with Hamas coming out of the Gaza Strip and... I was going to talk about the term Palestinian for just a moment. The King James Bible does have the word Palestinian and Palestine in it, but it's the same word. It's also translated as Philistine and Philistia. It's the exact same word, and it's kind of interesting. The Gaza Strip was the home of the Philistines in the old, in the Bible, and it was the Romans when they. I believe it was in the second century, about 170 or something like that, may know the year there, where they renamed the whole area Philistia, which
they
has
did
been
that,
anglicized to Palestine.
They did that to humiliate the Jews who were exiled from their land.
Exactly. So
there was no Palestinian people, and there never
has
been.
So my point is, other than the Philistines of old, and they're long gone, the term Palestine gets thrown around today. In fact, the Jerusalem Post, if I'm not mistaken, at one time was the Palestinian Post. Because everybody was called a Palestinian.
Actually,
it was Palestine.
Before independence in 1948, the Jews were known as the Palestinians.
Mm-hmm. Because, Christians were Palestinians.
Yes.
Muslims were Palestinians. If you were Chinese living there, you were a Palestinian. If you were Ecuadorian living there, you were a Palestinian. Because it was just like wherever you're from, if you live in America, you're an American. Wherever you're from, if you live in Canada, you're a Canadian. It's not an ethnic group. American is not an ethnic group. Canadian is not an ethnic group, not like French or German or Italian. And Palestinian is not an ethnic group. They've appropriated the term, tried to make it sound like they are, and these Jews have stolen Palestinian land.
Well, it was the KGB who did that. Golda Meir, when I think she was prime minister at the time, but she was on a radio interview, and the interviewer said, "Well, something about the Palestinians," and she got very confused. She said, "Who are you talking about? What?" And do you remember there was a presidential debate, not in the past two or three cycles, but one of the candidates was Newt Gingrich, and he was on the stage, and somebody asked him a question about the Palestinians, and he started to answer it, and then he said, "Wait a minute. You know there's no such thing as the Palestinians, don't you? There's no Palestine, and there are no Palestinians." He started to explain it, and his Republican colleagues up there on the stage started insulting him about it. "Oh, of course there is, you know, and we believe." But, of course, Newt Gingrich has his facts, always.
Right. Well,
and he was right.
Yeah, I wasn't it until not until the late 60s that the term Palestinian came to be applied to the Muslim
of course.
And the Arab residents?
And people use it out of convenience, you know. But before that, they were just known as the Arabs as opposed to the Jews.
Right.
So,
yeah, so it's
I use the word opposed incisively. but that's what it was. It was nobody. There were no Palestinians, and nobody said there were.
Yeah, it was just a place name.
And a false one at that.
Yeah, and not just a false one, but a derogatory name. As well. So we look at this and we look at the situation here in this effort to try and create a people that doesn't exist. In fact, many of the so-called Palestinians themselves were moved into the land.
Well, most of them, this is a very interesting story because the mandate for Palestine was given by the League of Nations to the Brits.
Okay. Right.
So they were administering the territory, and under the Balfour Declaration, they were supposed to admit Jews freely to closely settle the land. That was what they were supposed to do under international law. They didn't do that. They closed or almost closed immigration to Jews to keep them out, and they allowed freedom to people from Iraq, from Syria, from Lebanon, from all over the Middle East, Arabs to walk in and occupy the land. So that's what happened. And then they cut the mandate for Palestine that the Jews were supposed to get under international law. They cut most of it out and gave that to the new country they formed of Transjordan.
Right, three-quarters of it, I believe, is about what they took away.
Look, Jews have been persecuted for 3,333 years. Europe is a terrible hotbed of anti-Semitism, especially Germany, but France as well. It's the Eastern European nations who are not doing that for the most part. It's the Western European nations, and they are the ones who are blaming everything on the Israelis. Whatever goes wrong there, it's like in hockey. You never see the original, what should be the penalty, you see the retaliation.
Right.
So they are always blaming the Israelis for their military attacks. But so, people have a right to defend themselves. That's part of HCR 10, the bill we passed in Columbus in 2018, which recognizes the Jewish state's right under humanitarian law to defend itself from attack, just like we would here.
Right. Well, and when we look at this situation, and you were talking about your family that's in Israel, and there's been activity in the past where it's been like in the area around the Gaza Strip, you know, near the border, or perhaps up in the north, you know, in the Golan Heights and then maybe along the border there with Lebanon or something where Hezbollah has been, you know, attacking out of Lebanon or out of Syria or something like that. How widespread is the unrest in the country this time?
It's my understanding it's very widespread.
The entire country, in other words.
Yes.
Basically, it's not in certain areas.
Well, I know it's very, very strong in Tel Aviv, it's basically...
And for our listeners, Tel Aviv positioned in the country, about where is it compared to like Lebanon and Syria in the north, the Gaza Strip in the south?
North and south, speaking north and south, it's about in the middle.
So this is the center of the country.
Yeah, but it's on the Mediterranean coast.
Right.
But of course, there's no part of Israel that's very wide. Until the June 67 war, the border of Israel, I mean, the section of Israel right in the middle, was 9 miles wide. So when President Obama was saying, mm-hmm. "Well, the Israelis have to, you know, go back to those borders,"
I was thinking,
"What
of
are
that,
you
yeah.
crazy? Why yeah. would they ever do that?
Virtually indefensible
when,
borders."
When people, I think it was Mike Pompeo when he was Secretary of State, took a little helicopter tour, and they said, "Well, you know, here's the ocean, and that's where President Obama wanted us to be.
Mm-hmm.
It's completely indefensible, just yeah. like you can't defend the North without the Golan Heights."
Right, and that's because of the elevation there.
That's right.
Yeah, so...
Well, before the Golan Heights went to Israel, forever the Syrians were firing down on farmers who mm-hmm. used in the Galilee, who used to have to drive their tractors with an Uzi machine gun next to them.
And I had seen, too, where some apartments, I guess, had blackout curtains and bulletproof glass on the side facing the border.
Sure.
You know, people can't hardly comprehend that here in our country, but that's a fact of life there. I wanted to touch on something else, too.
Let's leave a minute in the end. I have a small prayer.
Yeah, that's right, because of the anniversary of 10, what was the name of the holiday again?
Shavuos, or Shavuot, depending upon right. which dialect you're speaking.
Yeah, the giving of the Ten Commandments. So we'll catch that. We'll keep an eye on the clock there. But I was going to say, you know, we look at the people living in the Gaza Strip. It's not exactly the most wealthy and prosperous region.
It could have been.
When
the Israelis abandoned it in 2005 and handed it over to them, and they intentionally blew up all the Capitol buildings. Like, there was a tremendous greenhouse.
Mm-hmm. Not the Israelis blowing it up.
No, the Hamas blew it up because mm-hmm. they didn't want anything Israeli there. Even though the Israelis had left them an economic infrastructure, mm-hmm. they destroyed it.
So they don't have much. And Lebanon is not the most prosperous country in the world. Syria,
although it
is
used
torn.
To be,
yeah, it used to be what they used to call
the Paris of the Middle East.
Yeah, and then Syria's got its problems and it's torn and everything that's going on there. Who is funding, in your opinion? I'm not going to ask you to, you know, to be definitive, but who is funding this? Where do they buy all of these missiles?
Oh, they're from Iran.
There you go, and of course Iran. Frequently having demonstrations, death to Israel.
And death to America.
And death to America. I think it was Prime Minister Netanyahu pointed out to somebody here one time that they call Israel the little Satan, we're the great Satan. And this is how this affects us here today. Not just gas prices with Middle East unrest, but what they're doing there, they'd like to do here, wouldn't they?
They certainly would. Now, when you know, your listeners probably know that my wife Beverly ran for Congress. She opened up a rally for candidate Trump in 2016 at the IX mm-hmm. Center. She did the invocation, and she was interviewed afterwards about her feelings on the Second Amendment. She said, when people say death to Israel and death to America, and Americans say, well, that's just stupid, they got to pay attention, because when people say they want to kill you, they probably will, and so mm-hmm. you got to defend yourself.
And, of course, we have a willing, compliant media and political leadership that just, I'd like to say they just are ignorant of it, but I think a lot of them know, and they have sympathies that lie over there rather than here. Yeah. Michael Goldstein, it's been good having you on, talking about what's going on. I want to encourage people. The Bible says we ought to pray for the peace of Jerusalem and indeed the whole country. But today being a special day, marking the anniversary of the giving of the Ten Commandments,
yeah,
one of the most important things, moral laws that's ever been given, and you wanted to share something from a Jewish perspective.
This is the prayer we use to end our service tonight, and it is from Proverbs, from Isaiah, and from Psalms. They put it all together in one place. Do not fear sudden terror, nor the destruction of the wicked when it comes. Contrive a scheme, but it will be foiled. Conspire a plot, but it will not materialize. For God is with us. To your old age, I am with you. To your hoary years, I will sustain you. I have made you, and I will carry you. I will sustain you and deliver you. Indeed, the righteous will extol your name. The upright will dwell in your presence. Don't be afraid of the terrorism.
Right.
Stand with God, and God will help you take care of yourself.
Well, I did a funeral this past week, and I was quoting, reading a portion of Paul's second letter to the Corinthians, and he talked about God being the God of all comfort. And God wants to comfort us. in difficult times. And
when we behave ourselves. Otherwise, the rain won't come.
right. But, you know, there's comfort available in God's word. And there's comfort that he wants for us to have. He doesn't want us to panic. He doesn't want us to, have no hope, no desire, I want to say no fear. We should have no fear because there's more going on behind the scenes. And so I want to thank you from getting, I know we're just running out of time. I don't have time to finish that thought, but we are running out of time here. I want to thank you for being on tonight, Michael Goldstein.
It was an honor to be here, especially today.
Give me that website again for your organization.
It's PJTN for Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, pjtn.org.
And again, what are they?
It's a Christian organization dedicated to educating Christians on their biblical duty to support and defend Israel and the Jewish people, especially in these times of increasing anti-Semitism.
A lot of good material there, and of course, you're instrumental, along with Chris Law and the Ohio Christian Alliance, of passing the anti-BDS legislation here in Ohio. And so
I just want to give a shout out to our president and founder, Dr. Lori Cardoza Moore, and to my assistant here in Ohio, Kathy Johnson. I couldn't do it without her.
Well, I know her, and she's a ball of energy, keeping you going and keeping things straight. And I appreciate the work that you're doing there and Proclaiming Justice to the Nations, the work that they're doing there. Look forward to having you on this Friday at 1:30 on our afternoon program. And I want to thank your wife for being in the studio with us today and helping out, and Lauren helping out over here. And, of course, our producer Craig in the background keeping all of us straight here tonight. We just did a different format tonight without all the calls and everything because this important information, what's happening over in Israel and the bearing that it has on us. So thank you again, and we're out of time tonight. I want to thank you for listening tonight, and join us again next time. God bless. Have a great week.
You've just listened to Late Night Live with Pastor Al. To learn more about Pastor Al Davis and Late Night Live with Pastor Al, visit our website at livewithpastoral.com.